I'm going to have to get back to you on that. I don't have that figure on me tonight.
So, what is your email, please, Brian? So could you please send me an answer? All right, what is your email? A records request, I can just send you the question and you'll get it back to me. I don't have to wait 10 days to get an answer and pay for it. Just double checking.
Okay.
Okay, because we have a new administration.
He just said he's going to give you the answer. So.
Okay, good. Thank you. I appreciate it. If I may, my last statement is I would ask that you all please go have a meeting with the former mayor of Cranston, Mayor Trafficante, and please talk to him about how much privatizing the Cranston Sewer Authority has saved the city of Cranston. And if we're looking for savings in the city of Warwick, this is another way you can save money, not have to borrow, and put it back to our school buildings and our children. Thank you.
Okay, if there's no other questions on Sewer Authority, we'll go to fire. And that's page 38. Actually, fire is page 36. Yes, Chief.
Chief Otto, Fire Department. Good evening, Mr. President, members of the council. I'd like to present the Fire Department budget for fiscal year 2019. This budget is $22,644,840. This is an increase of $444,535, or a 2% from the previous budget. Primary reason for the increase is due to contractual raises and increase in overtime line. There are no new positions added, and we're currently down the following positions: one fire chief, one assistant chief, 13 firefighters. On the municipal side, we are down two dispatchers and two record technicians out of headquarters. As far as the budget goes, we're definitely going to do our best to stay within the parameters that are afforded to us. However, this budget shows a reduction of 8 firefighter salaries, which will prevent us from putting a class of new firefighters on to have a full complement of floaters to absorb the overtime. I'd like to point out the following line items. Line 35104, salaries, fire one. We are projected to show a surplus of $356,790. And line 35105, salaries, fire two, with a projected surplus of $192,724. Combined, these two line items show a surplus of $549,515. These two lines, however, run hand in hand with lines 35110, overtime fire one, with a projected deficit of $58,427. And line 35111, overtime fire two, with a projected deficit of $992,279. Combined, these two show a projected deficit of $1,050,706. The fire department's uniform personnel total projected for the year and year-end deficit of $1,368,880. We did the analysis for these deficits and found a primary reason for a large number of combination of long-term illness and OJI and an unusual number of retirements. The overtime analysis shows 52% of overtime is required to fill vacancies due to sick time, 21% is due to OJI, and 4% due to state reimbursed training expenses. I would also like to bring your attention to the following line items. 35127 salaries, dispatches, with a projected surplus of $83,452. And line 35129, overtime for dispatches, with a projected deficit of $171,473. Combine these two lines, and it shows an actual deficit of $88,021. The reason for this large amount of overtime is the same problem with the police department. We're having a problem filling the vacancies in the dispatch center. If you have any questions.
Okay, thank you. Is there any questions from council members? Councilman Lattiser. I don't know if your mic's on.
That's unusual. Chief, could you repeat the vacancies that you have?
Okay, we have currently we're down with a fire chief. I'm acting chief at this time. An assistant chief and 13 firefighters. On the municipal side, we are down.
Hold on. I'm writing as you're talking. Okay, I have one fire chief, one assistant chief, 13 firefighters. What else?
Oh, on the municipal side, we're down two dispatchers and two record technicians for headquarters. Right now, one of those is being filled by a temporary employee. And then as far as the dispatchers go, we have one in training right now.
So last year, when we were making budget cuts, we had cut the salary items of, I believe it was one of the fire chiefs.
Correct.
And I believe the salary was $104,000, somewhere thereabouts. Was that line item still filled anyways?
That line item, that position was filled.
So the pay was filled.
Yes.
We cut the salary for
right.
that line item, but yet
the administration
the
had money.
Former mayor, go ahead, finish.
There was money in the employees because of retirement that they could pay that salary.
So even though this council cut the salary line item for that particular position, the mayor found the money somewhere else and filled it anyways. The
correct.
Former mayor, Mayor Avedisian. Okay. We also eliminated salary line items for 8 firefighters. Were those also filled by the former mayor?
Those line items never existed.
Salaries.
I remember the conversation that you had back then. I'm not exactly sure how it all went down, but those positions were never filled to begin with. They were shown 128, and it was one.
But there was a salary amount associated in those line items. Whether you filled it or not is not what I'm asking. What I'm asking is we cut that money out of the budget. Was that money kept in the budget?
I believe it was cut from the budget.
I'd like to know definitively, was it or wasn't it?
The former chief is there. I don't know if you can answer that. He was involved in that at the time.
I don't have an objection to the former chief being here and answering a question.
Thank you, Jim McLaughlin, Ward 8. I appreciate being here. I felt it was important to be here, being that I was responsible for FY 17 and 18, and I did put the proposed budget in for FY 19. There was a slight change since I left on that proposal, but I'm here for that as well. Last May, it was that Saturday when the fire department budget, when it was finalized, when the cuts came in. At that time, there was 8 positions total. One was the assistant chief position that you referred to now. The other one was for 7 firefighters. The first half of fiscal year 17, we had a class of 24. We had 17 vacancies at the time. July 1st of FY 17, July 1, 16, we had 17 vacancies. The class was of 24, as you know. The reason why it was 24, because the discussion was we wanted to have enough people. We just didn't want to have an academy to fill the 17 positions, because if we did that, the future retirees for the rest of the fiscal year until June 30th, we'd have vacancies going into the following fiscal year of July. So those 7 positions, I know there was confusion. I remember Councilman Howe and Councilman Ricks coming up to me at the break saying 7 people are going to get laid off. There was a lot of confusion that day. No, that's not the case, because the reason is when we started the fiscal year, FY 17, July 1st, we had 220. There was never 227, because from November 20th of 16, when we graduated the Academy of 24, from that date of November 20th of 16 to June 30th of 17, 7 firefighters retired, went off the job. So on July 1 of that next fiscal year, we came in at a full complement of 220. So our projections were right on the money. Our goal was to make sure we came into this current fiscal year, FY18, at 220, and that, in fact, is what happened.
So, Chief, what I recall is cutting 8 salaries.
From 228? From 228.
We cut 8 salaries. We cut those amounts.
Because the original number was 227, 228.
What you did with the positions, I don't know. We cut...
To 220.
I didn't cut anything to a number. I cut 8 salaries. The dollars and cents. Chief, let me finish.
Yep.
Dollars and cents. That's what we cut.
Right.
We know the mayor found money elsewhere to fill one position that we cut. And what you're saying to me now is those salary line items that we cut were in fact filled. They were just filled with different people.
They were not filled. They weren't there. 227 is what those numbers are based on, not 220.
So
what I'm saying to you is those positions.
So you're telling me
they weren't funded because they weren't there.
You're telling me the monies that were in your budget last year that we cut were fictitious numbers?
Weren't fictitious numbers.
We know what we cut.
We submitted the budget. We had 227. We had
that's
that.
That's correct.
And we submitted the budget much. When July 1st came, we were at 220. Those 7 were absorbed in. So the money was never cut because there was no need to go beyond 220. That was the full complement starting the beginning of FY18.
That's your interpretation. Our interpretation was we cut those salaries.
But those salaries weren't there on July 1st. We were 220, not 227.
When we approved the budget, we cut those items.
For the fiscal year 18.
Listen, I'm not going to argue with you about it.
I'm just trying to explain.
Well, let's just be respectful and let one another. I know the intent is to let one another finish. So if we could just... ask a question and get an answer, that'd be helpful.
And also, when we were discussing those positions, I believe it was yourself that said you were going to have 7 or 8 floaters, and that was going to eliminate this overtime problem because you had the 8 floaters. I've heard those same comments for many years, even before I got on this city council, that if we have a full complement, we're not going to have this problem with overtime. I remember one particular budget when Councilman Solomon, at the time was the councilman, he was sitting right here and he asked you the question, Chief, are you positive you can live with that amount of overtime? And your answer was yes. And that year you went over budget about another $700,000 in overtime. So this is just an issue that continues regardless of what your complement is. You just said July 1st you had a full complement, 220 firefighters. I'm looking here right now at a total of overtime hours combined, your combined overtime hours of $1,944,977.
We had a full complement at the beginning of FY18. July 1, 2017, we had a complement of 220. Today, in the same fiscal year, we're at 205. If we have a complement of 220 firefighters for 12 consecutive months, that is where that number comes in. FY17, the first half of the fiscal year, that's when we were down 17 firefighters. From that point until November 20th of 16, 75%+ of our overtime budget was expended. After 11/2016 to June 30 of 17, overtime came down, and then the salaries came up. And what the Chief Fontenot brought up already was, we look at the overtime figures at the end of the year, of course, as we should, but we seem to skip the firefighter salaries at the end of the fiscal year. And as he noted, the firefighter salaries are only at 77% today in Firefighter 1, and Firefighter 2, they're at 86.7%. So there's a money that's going to be left in those salaries because we don't have the personnel. That's why in this current FY18, there's excess money in the salaries. So when the overtime is high, your salaries, you're going to have extra money. If we had the 220 throughout the whole 12-month period, if we had the 220 from start to finish, our salaries and our line items would be 95, almost 100% at the end of the fiscal year, and our overtime would be lower. There's a direct correlation between amount of overtime spent and amount of salaries expended in the fiscal year. They're directly related.
Chief, your overtime has never been low.
Actually,
it has never been low. Not since I've been on this council, it has never been low.
In 2000,
regardless of what your compliment is, your definition of low and mine obviously is two different things.
$1.2 million for a 200-plus man department, person department, is not excessive overtime. And I'll be on the record for that. And if you don't want to believe me, I challenge you. I challenge you, if you haven't researched it yet, to look at the fire departments around us throughout the state and look at what the line items are and what's expended for the amount of department members that they have. I challenge you to investigate that. And I am saying here tonight, and I can't be any clearer, $1.2 million on a 220-person department is a number that is not excessive. I'm on record right here telling you that. And if you don't believe me, look at what's going on. That 220 people that with those floaters, that's where you keep it within that manageable number. 2012, our overtime was 2.1. 2013, it was 1.9. The last 6 years, the average was 1.57. There has been a decrease in the last 5 to 6 years up to this point of overtime spent in the Warwick Fire Department.
I don't see it by the numbers I'm looking at. And I can assure you of this. The taxpayers that have reached out to me don't think it's a low overtime budget. And they're the ones that are paying the bills.
I understand that, Councilman. All that I'm saying to you is if you don't have the floaters that cover the vacations at straight time throughout the whole 12-month period, if you don't have it from July 1 to June 30th, that's when you're going to incur that overtime. That's a simple statement. You said, why is it high now if we started July 1 at 220? The simple answer is we're down 15 people today. That's the answer.
I know, and that's the answer that every single budget we get. The answer is we're down. If you give us the full complement, if you give us the staff, the overtime problem is going to go away. I have never seen it go away.
It's when people retire. That's something that you simply can't put your finger on. When we did that projection, when we did the 24, we had the 17 vacancies. Mm-hmm. We said, what do we need? We're going to run an academy. There's a cost to that. If we're going to run the academy, let's get the best bang for our buck, and let's have some extra. And that's why we decided to go with 24. So after that November 20th, we were going to go into that next fiscal year, July, at 220. If we had not done that, if we had not had those extra seven people to fill in to be at 220 last July, our overtime tonight would be far more expensive because of those seven people if we didn't have them.
So certainly the fire department isn't the only one that has employees retiring. All departments have employees retiring. And they live with it, and they make do, and they move on. So as I see it, I haven't seen anything change in overtime, regardless of what your staffing is.
Well, I will say that it is a direct correlation. The other thing I would want to mention overtime, which has been mentioned before, is the fire department has four statewide asset teams that we work very hard to get sustainable training. When that training is done for our tech rescue, hazmat, those other teams, what we do is the overtime, the firefighter is getting training, he is getting paid out of the overtime line budget item. They're getting paid that overtime. That money is 100% reimbursable. Whether it's a state grant or a federal grant, the money has to be expended first before the money comes back to the city. That overtime comes out of our line item for our firefighters, and when that money comes back 30 days, 45 days after, that money doesn't come back to the department. That money comes back to the general fund. So is it a lot of money? $100,000, $125,000 a year, I would say roughly. That money that actually is being charged to our overtime account, and when it comes back, it doesn't come back and offset the line item for the firefighter overtime. Granted, it's $100,000, $125,000. It's not, you may not consider significant, but it's $125,000, that money that actually is coming out that we, again, the city's getting back, but not per se the fire department.
All right, I have other questions. I'm going to
yes.
move on beyond this overtime, so I don't know who's going to be answering the questions going forward.
Councilman.
Sir.
Eight salaries were taken out. It was reduced by $483,055.
And that was reduced?
That was reduced.
Okay. So let's talk about your gas budget. 35,220. This is for gas and diesel or just gas?
That's actually just diesel.
Just diesel, because in your...
I'm sorry. The money is both.
In your report, 35,220, it just shows gasoline. So is that for gas and diesel, or is diesel somewhere else?
Nope, it's gas and diesel.
Gas and diesel. Okay. Now, on May 1st, your account was $128,082. You had an encumbrance of $13,177, and you're projecting $170,000 in fuel used for the year. How do you use about $40,000 worth of fuel in 2 months? That's the first question. The second question is, what do you have for fuel gallons in your tanks today?
As of noon, we have 3,325 gallons.
Gallons of gas and diesel?
Diesel. We don't store gasoline.
Okay.
We are back charged by PD for that.
And what's the cost of the diesel fuel per gallon?
$2.35.
$2.35. That's current price or?
That's the actual finished price.
Okay. So where does this change come from? Matter of fact, let's look at something else. Hold on 1 minute. Yeah.
So the $170,000 projection was probably an aggressive projection by the Treasury Department. Our up-to-date numbers with June 1st, the expense that you're looking at for June 1st, our projections will be about $154,845 would be our better projection for that number. That should leave us about $15,000 in the budget.
Okay, so as of today, you're at $135,000. As of today, $135,000. As of today, and you're saying that you're going to spend another $35,000 in the next 4 weeks on fuel. And we still have, I don't know, what is it, $70,000 sitting in the tanks right now. I'm sorry, 7,800 sitting in the tanks right now.
7,833, sir.
Mm-hmm. So I would say it's fair to say, as it has been not just in your department, but pretty much every department during these budget hearings, that figure is somewhat exaggerated in the projections for the end of the year.
Well, for us, we notice that fuel has gone down. So... mm-hmm. In prior years, it would have been much higher.
Okay. Now, I'd had this conversation with the police department as well with regard to a mileage on their vehicles. Mm-hmm. So with your fire apparatus, do you know how many miles are averaged per year for fire apparatus strictly for responding to emergencies, accidents, rescues, dive teams, et cetera, et cetera?
No, I don't have that number.
How many miles does your vehicles average per year altogether?
I don't have that number. I have miles on vehicles, but the actual miles they do, I don't know. It's kind of hard to calculate the fuel with that because the truck spent a lot of time idling.
I wasn't particularly looking to calculate what your fuel is. I'm sure you could tell me what percentage of fuel you're using per mile. I had other reasons for asking that question. Okay. Your electricity at 35,224, number 30, line 2, 35,224. You are right now at $91,586 as of today. And you are pushing out 110 for the year. So you're anticipating using $20,000 worth of electricity in the next 30 days?
Again, that's an aggressive projection. So we're projecting 99,912.
You have what?
We're projecting $99,912.
Okay. So there's about $11,000 of additional projections in that particular line item. Okay. So, Chief, you are the new chief here in the city of Warwick. So my question is, and I know that you're going to be coming before this council to be looking for lots of things over the next year. You're going to be looking for equipment, you're going to be looking for tools, et cetera, et cetera. So what I'm going to be looking for as finance chair is how we're going to be able to afford to pay for these things, not just in your department, in all the other departments. The other departments, everybody has their wish list. We have a school department that's coming in and wants to take control of the whole budget. They don't care about what we can raise taxes. They come in and tell us this is what they want. So that means all the rest of you guys are out in the cold somewheres because you won't get anything. So this is about fairness. This is about doing more with less. You guys have been hearing me say that for the last year and a half. It's about doing more with less. So if we're going to be able to purchase these vehicles and this equipment and do these repairs on buildings and all these other things that we need to do, we need to have the money to do them. And you were here last night, you heard the council president say, we're sitting here with a budget that's 14 mil short. 14 million short. You guys are pending a lawsuit against us. We have a pending lawsuit from the school department.
Firefighters Union.
Firefighters Union, okay. All these things come out of that thing called the bank. So what I'm saying here is all the departments, you got to figure out how you're going to run your companies more economically if you want us to approve these things that you're going to be coming to us for. Because the well is dry. It's beyond dry. And we don't know how these things are going to turn out. We don't know how the fire department's going to, the union is going to turn out with that lawsuit. We don't know what potentially could happen with the school department. We sure, at this point, don't know what's going to happen with this budget and how we're going to fix it, because it's been dumped in our lap to fix and everybody else is bailed out. So we'll do what we need to do here to get it as fair as we possibly can with the littlest amount of pain to the taxpayers. But what I'm reaching out to you for is to do what you need to do as the leader of your department to get us to a place where we can afford to buy and do the things that we need to do. You got to figure it out. I have to figure that out in my own private company. I don't have the luxury of raising taxes. When I have things happen, I have to figure out how am I going to do it. And sometimes I have to take the money out of my pocket to do it. And many times we have to sacrifice. And in the private sector, the sacrifice usually comes from the top down, because that's the only way we're going to stay around. So we're coming into a whole new arena here. We have a new mayor, we have a new fire chief, we have new department heads that I'm sure will be coming in. We know of two for sure. We need to figure out how we're going to do this and do it affordably. But you guys, when I say you guys, I'm talking about the departments, you have to figure out how you're going to run your departments more affordably so that we, as the council, can afford to do the things we need to do. But particularly important is so that the taxpayers can afford to pay it. And they are stretched to the max. Thank you.
If I could just comment for a second. Tuesday morning, I had the pleasure of meeting with the new mayor, and we went over a lot of these issues. And he assured me that we're going to be sitting down. He's going to be looking for us to tighten our belt and do more with less, and to try to bring our, you know, live within our budget. And everything's on the table. He's in the process of negotiating a collective bargaining agreement with the firefighters union, and from there we can hopefully get a good budget or work within a budget and move forward. You know, we've seen his idea of fiscal responsibility, so we're going to do our best to work within those parameters.
Chief, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because last night the council president had asked the police department some operational questions, how they run their business. And one of those questions was how they deal with their change of shifts. They have minimal, from what they testified to, you could count them on one hand. And they have a specific procedure as to how they do it, how they record it, how they monitor it. We all read the paper. We all hear the radio. We see the numbers. And the numbers, from the numbers I've seen and where I've seen them come from, which is from the city, can't be disputed. Numbers are the numbers. They're there. Facts are the facts. So how do you plan on dealing with sick time, vacation time, and change of shifts going forward?
I don't know what numbers you looked at. Change of shift did not incur any overtime. I know there's a lot of talk out there. I've been in the system for 26 years, and you can check out, there's not one line item for changes of shift, because it doesn't occur any.
I agree, there isn't.
Because it doesn't occur any cost. That's someone's interpretation of it. Sick time, sick time is very low. The reason why we have the sick time you're seeing is long term. If someone gets injured, they can't come to work. OJI, it's the nature of the business. But we keep an eye up. As far as individual sick days, we keep that pretty low. But again, changes of shift do not occur any overtime.
Okay, I guess we'll see how we go from here.
Well, and that's something that needs to be discussed with the mayor. I mean, it's a policy in place that they allow to do that. It's contractual. And if, you know, somebody has data, I think they need to submit it through the chair to the mayor, and I'm sure they'll have a conversation with me over it.
So you said that's contractual, we don't even have a contract from the fire department yet, right?
Well, it's still in place.
Okay. So in the new contract, as far as you know, that's still going to be in place?
I have not seen the new contract.
Okay, yeah, I know. I haven't. Okay, Mr. President.
Chief, I just had a quick question. The Councilman Lattisaw touched on it. I think you're allowed to accumulate so many days. I think is it 140 days?
Sick time, yes.
Sick time, okay. But some of the information that we had received showed some firefighters had over 140. So if the contract calls for 140 and it's over, to me,
right, they're not a human. After the 140, they lose them at the end of that year.
They what?
They lose anything over 140 at the end of that year.
Because we've had situations where they retire and they get paid out over 140.
Well, because they were on the books at that time.
What's that?
They were on the books at that time. It was in that year.
I didn't understand what you said. Sorry. The echo.
So those were, how many was it? A couple days?
Yeah, 144, whatever it was, yeah.
That's because the way it mapped out at the end of that when they retired.
So, I read contracts all the time. If it says 140, you get 140. Doesn't mean you get 144 or 145. So how do you explain that?
That's the rate it's accrued.
So the contract says 140. Why would you pay out more than that? Those are the things that's a management decision. I don't know how you do that when the contract says 140. To me, that's black and white. And then when you see an incident of that, and you see other incidents where 1 month somebody has 70 hours accumulated, and the next month they jump up to over 100. It's either an accounting error.
Hours on what, sir?
Yeah. In other words, in a short period of time, they jump up 30, 40 hours in a month or two reporting period. And either the reports are wrong and they're not being monitored, or they're allowed to do that somehow. There's other incidences where people are not working for over a month with change of shift, sick time, vacation time, you know, the 4 days on, 4 days off, I get it. But while they're doing that, they have state contracts at the University of Rhode Island for painting. And they're calling in with us.
I'm not aware
being
of
being sick.
I'm not aware of anyone calling out sick and being on a job.
I mean, that's...
That's an accusation. I have no record of that.
Okay, well...
Someone makes that comment. I don't have a record of that.
At some point in time, I don't want to be a referee. I can tell you it happened because the documents were obtained from the University of Rhode Island. While the person was out sick here, the person was cashing in on a painting job at the University of Rhode Island. And I'm not going to get into names or who it was, but it just gives the impression that when management looks at, and Councilman Lattisaw brought this out the other day, or mentioned this, when I was asking the police department last night, when somebody gets sick, what do? The chief requires that person, I think you were sitting there, to bring in a note from a physician saying, I'm sick. I'm guessing the rationale is that you don't have a situation where somebody's saying they're sick and they're working another job someplace else.
We do the same thing after 2 days.
After 3 days. And I think, you know, and I don't know how to handle this because, you know, we're brought evidence of one thing. I wish everybody would be able to sit down and figure it out and look at these things, because you can't correct what happened in the past, but you can correct going forward that doesn't happen again. And I'm going to ask you, I think, a fair question. I'm going to ask you a hypothetical question. You would agree with me that if somebody was calling in sick and they were working another job, that was wrong?
Correct.
Okay. So if there's evidence that happened, I think as a group, there needs to be stronger controls and mechanisms in place. You're saying there should have been something that said, within 3 days, here's your sick note. Because when you do things like that, it's fraud.
Correct. Absolutely.
And it reflects on all the other officers that are working hard and doing the right thing. One or two bad apples, or several, give the whole department a bad reputation. And that's not right. And I don't like seeing this, and I don't like asking about this. Because I would like to trust people and know that things are going right. And I'm not saying that anybody in the department knew. I don't have any evidence that anybody in the department knew. But I would think that if there was a note from a physician, that we might want to check that incident out. I mean, we could go on all night about the documents that were requested and what were shown. And I had one other question, because Councilman Lattisaw was talking about fuel, and Chief McLaughlin, if I could ask you the question. Several years ago, it was brought up about using apparatus to go to the local stores to shop.
Yes.
And you folks implemented a,
former Mayor Avedisian implemented a policy that said you can't do that. And it was in writing, and it was put out there. And then we still drive by, and we see that that policy isn't being followed.
The policy said what? I didn't hear what you said with the policy.
There was a written policy.
That was approved by the Board of Public Safety. That's correct. January of 2016.
So you're talking about the change. So the Board of Public Safety allows them to bring the trucks.
A policy was approved in January 2016 that has the criteria for that.
Just correct. Out of curiosity, did you advocate for that policy?
That policy is something that I would advocate for.
Why?
Because there's nothing wrong with it. Because I'll give you an example. It's when the policy, the key to the policy was to make sure that it was done at the right time. The policy has got about 12 or 15 bullet points. And the policy states when it's a permissible. It states how many can be there, where they should park, who should stay with the truck. And what's happened here is, and we've got a certain few that don't like it. We all know that.
Well, stop.
I just want to say this.
Chief, I said this the other night, okay? I'm not going to pick on... This is a debate of ideas. It's not about the messenger or a person. Just like it isn't about the person that did whatever they did, okay, at URI. That's not the issue. The issue is, from a public policy's perspective, how do I justify saying that it's okay to take a truck that gets 8 or 9 gallons an hour, leave it parked outside a Stop and Shop running, which is a violation of all sorts of air quality issues? And I think the department's got notices of that, and think that that's a good policy when we're violating air quality laws that mean something, and we're wasting fuel. I realize people go to work for 12 hours, and I realize that somebody might be out for a run and they want to grab something to eat. I also know that there's opportunities to buy meals ahead of time and prepare them. I mean, we have workout places. I advocated for the new station, Chief. It's a beautiful facility, okay? It's got a kitchen. It's got all sorts of equipment in there. Peapod delivers to any house or any station that you want. We can also prepare a meal ahead of time and say, hey, I know I'm going to cook, and this is what I'm going to do. I mean, many of us do that when we go to work ourselves. We know what we're going to have for lunch, and we bring it, or dinner, or whatever. And, you know, the other night, unsolicited, I happened to be at a graduation party, and somebody had mentioned this, and it wasn't any of the, you know, so-called troublemakers, okay? It was just somebody off the street, and he happened to be a union worker that was retired from the state of Rhode Island. And he had mentioned it to me unsolicited. And I look at it, and I say, how do I turn around and say that that's a fair policy? And why did Mayor Avedisian think that it was an unfair policy, because he was the one, before the Board of Public Safety that got involved, wrote an email or a letter to you saying that will not be done anymore?
That did not happen when I was upstairs.
Okay. I recall that...
Previous to me.
Oh, it happened previous to you.
Previous to me, right.
Okay, so at some point in time, mm-hmm. there was an analysis done mm-hmm. by the higher-ups that said that they didn't think that that was a good idea. And then somehow the Board of Public Safety took a look at it and changed that policy in 2016. But I just look at, you know, and I've had this conversation with you, where the truck number 10 in Potawatomi, the reason that I advocated for simultaneous response in 1999 to Potawatomi
and advocated for a station down there is because we had incidents where we needed the jaws of life, we needed people to be on the scene immediately, and trucks are being pulled out and driven to whatever the area is out of the district in East Greenwich, in sections of Warwick, I see the trucks, without any coverage in Pottawamat. The reason that I put it in, the reason that I walked door to door and knocked on doors so we would have a truck there and coverage. And I can understand if there's a run and somebody's running to the hospital or something. We don't have an ambulance there, okay? It's a truck. So what do I tell my constituents when I say, hey, sorry, had an incident down there, and the whole purpose that I put a truck down there, they had to go out and buy their dinner, and they weren't close by, and that 1 or 2 minutes that we were trying to save is outweighed. It's a cost-benefit analysis, is outweighed by the need to go shopping out of district, out of the area where I wanted that truck to be. How do I justify that?
Are we talking about trainings or shopping specifically?
Right now, I'm talking about shopping.
Shopping, the policy states that they're in their district, that they do it when they're on the road, preferably, that there's not multi. There's a whole list of what can't be done. And that policy is followed. If there's a problem with the policy in the future days that down the road, if there's a change, there'll be a change. You ask me, if personally, I have a problem with it? I do not. I do not have a problem with it. They're in their districts. They're providing community public outreach. Kids love to see them. There are incidents where they respond from there that they're closer than from if they were in quarters at the station. There's so many of those instances, but we never talk about that. We never talk about that. We talk about multiple vehicles there at the same time while other trucks are going and it's getting ready to make the paper, but then GPS doesn't support that argument, so the story doesn't run because they didn't know there was GPS in the truck. Total lie. They follow the policy. If they don't follow the policy, it's been stripped from them. When I was there, I can think of 4 instances where if there was any problem, I pulled it from them. And that was it.
Okay.
But the policy, the Board of Public Safety said felt it was okay. It went through the proper channel. If that's something that the future administration deems that they don't think is acceptable, that's what the future's all about, like you talked about earlier.
Right. And I do not think that it's a good idea to remove a truck from a district to go shopping when it's bifurcated from the rest of the city of Warwick. And I don't think that that's a rational argument that anybody could make to leave a district unattended to because shopping and meeting kids outside a Stop and Shop and the way that it makes the kids feel is more important than the person that's having a heart attack or can't breathe,
right,
or has some sort of neck injury and needs immediate attention. You and I can agree to disagree, but I don't know how anybody can make that argument that a truck leaves that area to make somebody else, a child, feel good. And the whole reason this councilman advocated for you folks to have a station down there is so I would avoid the situations where East Greenwich left because they don't comply with the NFPA standards and arrived at the scene without the jaws of life and people died. And it's irritating and infuriating to hear that we should make kids happy and leave a district because that's more important than saving a life and being 2 minutes away.
I didn't say that.
Well, there's a cost-benefit analysis there.
Right, that's right. And then there was a conversation about how during trainings. Trainings are a practical exercise. When you do trainings, there's practical element to doing that. And I know there was a discussion earlier that Engine 10 should never go to trainings down in Hapanock. We have a 4-group rotation that says that provides adequate coverage to the city while there's a training going down at headquarters, which usually incorporates around 3 or 4 trucks. Station 10 is no different than Station 2. When Engine 2 comes down, it's in the north end of Post Road, they leave and the surrounding two districts cover that. Station 10, it should be no different than any other district in the city. When Station 10 comes down, Station 5 at Cohasset and Apennine provide that coverage just like Station 6 or 8 would cover too when they come down for a training. So the fact that Station 10 shouldn't do training because they're in Pottawamat, I don't think that's substantiated.
So Station 10 is unique because it's separated from the rest of Warwick. That's number one. This is my opinion. That's why I put it down. Let me finish, okay? Hmm? And if you're going to rotate the trucks around, and there's going to be the truck from Pottawamat is going to be at Station 1, mm-hmm. and Station 5 is going to cover that, and they need the training, and we have several trucks in Station 1, then why not take a truck from Station 1 that's not doing training and put it in Station 5? And if there's an emergency, at least we got a truck down there.
When Engine 10 is at headquarters, 5 and 1 are both in service to provide the cover.
You told me to put a station. You folks told me to put a station down in Pottawamat because it was inadequate to respond from Station 1 and Station 5.
That's right.
Now all of a sudden it's adequate.
I didn't say it's adequate. I'm talking about...
You just told me it was adequate.
Trainings. I'm talking about... You're talking about the truck...
I'm talking about response and saving lives.
I'm talking about response, too. It's no different than any other district.
You can't have it both ways. You can't say that we need a station down there to save lives and then leave it blank and say the training's more important than having a truck down there that needed to be down there because we needed an emergency response because it wasn't appropriate to leave from 501. It took too long.
So if we put the station at 10 from Station 5 while 10 was doing the training, what happens to the incident right by Station 5?
Why can't you move one, a truck, any of the trucks that are in Station 1 that aren't doing training to Station 10 while Station 10's doing the training? You're just moving the apparatus around. I don't care that they're doing training. I just care that they have coverage.
It's never been an issue. Never been an issue.
Mr. President, Mr. Pat,
yes.
With all due respect, I think that this conversation of what's happening, what will happen, should be happening with the current chief.
That's fine.
With all due respect.
That's fine. And I digress because of the issue. We should stick with the budget items.
Mr. President, this wasn't a reflection on you. So let me just say this, Chief. My comments earlier, these comments are not directed to the firefighters. And I say that because in my own company, if I have employees, if they get 4 or 5 extra sick days, they're going to take it. If they get a week extra vacation, they're going to take it. If they're allowed to take the company truck and go shopping for wherever they want to go shopping, they're going to do it because they're being allowed to do it. The majority of these problems that have been discussed here tonight, these are not particularly firefighter problems. These are management problems. And it's management's responsibility to fix these problems. And I remember a specific case where, not that long ago, I had sent an email to Chief McLaughlin, and I asked him where a fire truck and a rescue was going up near Lowe's, turned off that street over there. And where were they going? They were doing a run to one of those nursing homes. And the reason that question was asked was because there was at least one piece of apparatus, it may have been two, I don't recall, at Lowe's at that same time. That is a management problem. Those vehicles and those firefighters were allowed to go to that particular location, and right around the corner was something going on that needed a rescue, and that facilitates a truck. That had to come from someplace different. These are the issues, and they're extremely frustrating because we sit here and we try to make financial decisions that are responsible for the people that are paying the bills. And it's difficult to do that when you don't have control over the going-ons in your own company. Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. President, yes. I move for a recess.
5 minute recess? Do you have a second? Second? All those in favor? Aye.